Good afternoon and welcome to what I hope is going to become a standing feature of the St. John's Lutheran Church Worship Conference. This is our fifth worship conference, and those of us who have been here all day long have greatly benefited from the wonderful breakout sessions and particularly from the scholarship and wisdom of our guest keynote speaker, Dr. Christopher Boyd Brown. He will be doing the running commentary through these hymns. All of you ought to have a kind of large program for this, and we'll begin, you may remain seated, we'll begin with the invocation and a brief prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Almighty everlasting God, your Son has assured forgiveness of sins and deliverance from eternal death. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit, that our faith in Christ may increase daily, and that we may hold fast to the hope that on the last day we shall be raised in glory to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I introduce to you Dr. Christopher Boyd Brown.
St. Paul the Apostle writes in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Dr. Martin Luther, reflecting on these words of St. Paul, wrote in the preface to his first German hymnal in 1524, "St. Paul exhorted the Colossians to sing spiritual songs and psalms heartily unto the Lord, so that God's word and Christian doctrine might be instilled and implanted in many ways. Therefore, I too have, with the help of others, compiled several hymns, so that the holy gospel, which now by the grace of God has risen anew, may be set forth and given free course." Lutheran hymns praise God by proclaiming his word, which, whether it is read or preached or sung, has God's power to create and strengthen faith for the admonition and comfort of God's people. Luther's student, Kyriakos Spangenberg, gave a catalog of the fruits of the Spirit produced by the singing of the hymns, which is apt to recall for our hymn festival this afternoon. God is praised. The human creature is spurred to true devotion. All the chief articles of divine doctrine, especially the promise of the gospel, are called to mind. The singer is strengthened, the neighbor is taught, encouraged, and exhorted, and the hearts of both are comforted. The soul is rejoiced, the conscience stilled, hope increased, the cross lightened, fear and sadness are diminished, the angels are delighted, and the devil is put to flight and brought to shame. Our first hymn this afternoon, Luther's "Nun freut euch, lieben Christengemein," "Dear Christians, one and all rejoice," was among the first new German hymns which Luther wrote. It spread throughout Germany, printed on single sheets and by word of mouth, before the first collections of hymns, the first Lutheran hymnals, appeared in 1524. For many people, living under rulers who attempted to ban Luther's writings and the German Bible, hymns like this one were the way in which they first heard the gospel clearly proclaimed. "Dear Christians, one and all rejoice" is both communal praise and personal confession. It begins with a call to the whole Christian community to proclaim with joy the wonders God has done, just as 1 Peter 2:9 exhorts. With his second verse, the language of the hymn shifts to the first person singular, confessing in stark terms the bondage to sin and helplessness that are the confession of every individual in the singing congregation. Yet, then again, Luther's language shifts, and the sinners who have just confessed their sin become proclaimers of the gospel. The unilateral action of the triune God to save sinful and helpless mankind, the joyous exchange in which the incarnate Son of God takes on human sin and gives his own innocence and blessedness. The hymn ends with Jesus' sending of the Holy Spirit and his exhortation to hold fast to his word and teaching. Luther's hymn conveys a profound theology of law and gospel in narrative form and places it on our lips, on the lips of every Christian, to proclaim in song, not only at the beginning of the Reformation, but still today. Our second hymn is by the 17th century Lutheran Paul Gerhard, a pastor the first half of whose life spanned the devastation of the 30 Years' War in Europe. Gerhard's hymn applies Luther's theology to the situation of the Christian in the world, faced with uncertainty and suffering, as Luther calls it, bearing the cross. For Luther and Gerhard, to bear the cross meant not going on crusade or entering the cloister or convent, as medieval Christians had understood it, but to face the troubles of life, confident in God's mercy, given in Jesus Christ, and in the sure hope of eternal life. In its form, Gerhard's hymn reminds us that Christian hymns are used both in public worship and in private devotion, as Christians proclaim God's word to one another, and as a Christian applies God's word and promises to herself. The final hymn of our first section comes from the Bohemian Brethren, a group which traced its origins to the pre-Lutheran reformer Jan Hus, who was martyred in 1415. When Luther came onto the public stage just a century later in 1517, many followers of Hus and many supporters of Luther saw a connection between the two theologians. During Luther's lifetime, the two groups were especially close, and Luther took many hymns of the Brethren into his own hymnals. Our hymn today, Lobt Gott getrost mit Singen, appears in a new translation by Pastor Bruss, O flock of Christ, sing praises. Like Luther's Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, it is a proclamation to the Christian assembly, boldly announcing the comfort of the gospel. In this hymn, we might note that it, like many early Lutheran hymns, does not shy away from using both paternal and maternal images of God, not in order to supplant the biblical proclamation of the triune God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but drawing faithfully on the language of Scripture itself. One of Luther and Gerhard's favorite images of Jesus was as the mother hen of Matthew 23, longing to gather her chicks under her wings. Here, the biblical source is Isaiah chapter 49, which compares God's unfailing remembrance of his children to that of a loving mother, reminding us that amid all the trials and crosses of this world, Jesus remains our faithful Savior.
Thank you.
In his epistle to the Colossians, chapter 2, St. Paul describes his labors for those who know him only through his writings, including ourselves today, that they may reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our hymns in this section explore what possessing Jesus as our treasure through faith means for the life of the Christian. The hymn, Jesus, Priceless Treasure, deploys all the resources of Baroque poetry to paint a dramatic picture of life amid the tumult, assaults, and temptations of this world, sustained by faith in Jesus. The hymn's author, Johann Franck, was a younger contemporary of Paul Gerhardt, and the composer of the melody of his hymn, Johann Kruger, wrote melodies for many of Gerhardt's as well. Particularly striking in Kruger's setting here is the use of the minor mode to reflect not sadness, but defiant triumph, invoking the holy name of Jesus. The Christian life is not, as Luther liked to say, all a bed of roses. Yet, by faith in Jesus, in the power of his name, we are more than conquerors. Our second hymn in this section is another by Paul Gerhardt, whose melody, like that of Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me, was composed by Johann Abelin, Kruger's successor as musician at Gerhardt's church in Berlin. Gerhardt wrote this hymn as a morning song, and what we have in the Lutheran service book is an excerpt of the 12 stanzas of his original. Its melody stands in contrast to that of our previous hymn. Instead of the defiant minor key of Jesus' Priceless Treasure, Abeling's setting for evening and morning is a light, dance-like melody. The juxtaposition of these two settings should perhaps remind us that both of these affective or emotional aspects have their proper place in Christian life. Gerhardt's hymn, which begins with the acknowledgement of God's care and mercy in creation and redemption extending into eternal life, concludes with an exhortation to all Christians to join in singing this proclamation, thereby presenting to God the worship of faith which he truly desires.
Thank you.
St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "No one can lay any foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ." Our hymns in this final section proclaim Christian confidence in Jesus as faith's foundation, declared in his unfailing word. Our first hymn, by the 18th century Lutheran pastor Erdmann Neumeister, is based on Paul's words in 1 Timothy 1. "But I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Neumeister's hymn, "Ich weiß an wen ich glaube," "I know my faith is founded," extols the word of God, which above and beyond all human wisdom and reason conveys faith and assurance in Jesus the Savior amid all the assaults of the devil in the world. Against those who would separate Jesus and his word, as if Christians could have one without the other, this hymn proclaims the indissoluble union between Jesus, his word, and faith. The second hymn in this section is a setting of one of Luther's last hymns, written in 1542 as a hymn for children. "Erhalt uns Herr bei deinem Wort," "Lord, keep us steadfast in your word." In its pointed original version by Luther, it was directed specifically against the two archenemies of Christ in his holy church, the Pope and the Turks. It is short, in three stanzas, with a simple melody based on Gregorian chant, ideal for use in the household, perhaps as an evening prayer. Yet it quickly became an enduring part of Lutheran public worship and prayer. Later Lutherans saw it as something of Luther's musical Last Testament. It became a mark of Lutheran identification under persecution, and singing it an act of political rebellion, where authorities were trying to suppress the Reformation. "Lord, keep us" proclaims with great clarity the identity of the Christian Church, defined not by submission to the Pope, but by clinging to God's word under the protection of Jesus, her Savior, with a unity given by the Holy Spirit. In a tradition going back to Luther's own use of the hymn, we will follow the choir's singing of "Lord, keep us steadfast" with the congregational singing of the versicle, "Give peace, we pray." St. Paul writes to the Ephesians, chapter 5, exhorting them to redeem the time because the days are evil. Yet the way in which St. Paul instructs them to redeem the time is to sing. "Be filled with the Spirit," he writes, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians sing in the early church, in the days of the Reformation, and still today. We sing amid the uncertainty of evil days, amid wars and rumors of wars, the threat of pestilence and destruction. We sing and proclaim to one another and to all the world the Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose cross and resurrection we possess the only treasure worth possessing, the foundation which endures to all eternity.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that following his steps, we may steadfastly walk in the way that leads to everlasting life. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord God, our Father, you kept Abraham and Sarah in safety throughout the days of their pilgrimage. You led the children of Israel through the midst of the Dead Sea. And by your star, you led the wise men to the infant Jesus. Protect and guide us now in this time as we set out to travel. Make our ways safe and our homecomings joyful. And bring us at last to our heavenly home, where you dwell in glory with your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.